Hello and welcome to this UK Defence Club podcast. I'm Philippa Langton and I'm a Senior Claims Director at the Club. In this podcast, I'll be discussing the consequences of not complying with court orders. A key difference between litigating a claim in the English High Court and resolving a claim in arbitration is the court's power to impose sanctions on a party for failing to comply with its orders. In this podcast, we look at how the court's powers work and how witnesses and parties can avoid falling foul of the rules and ending up in contempt of court, suffering court sanctions and reputational damage. The consequences of not complying with a court order depend on the form of the order. Some orders simply specify a time limit within which a party is permitted to perform a certain task. These orders are self-policing in the sense that a sanction for non-compliance is built in. For example, if a party fails to comply with an order permitting expert evidence to be served by a certain date, there's no contempt of court, but that party will not be able to rely on expert evidence without permission. Other orders, which will form the focus of this podcast, positively require an act to be done or prohibit an action from being taken. For example, an order to give disclosure, an order to pay costs, or an order prohibiting the sale of a property. A party who fails to do what has been ordered or does that which has been prohibited commits a civil contempt of court. This is to be distinguished from criminal contempt, which involves a serious interference with the administration of justice, such as threatening a witness. Civil contempt is therefore not a crime, but it is nevertheless punishable by the civil court. For the court to find a civil contempt, all that is required to be proven is that the order was served and the party bound to do it failed to do what was required, or did that which was prohibited. No proof of intention to breach the order is required, although the conduct in question must be intentional as opposed to inadvertent. Contempt must be proved to the criminal standard, that is, beyond reasonable doubt. The three most common methods of encouraging compliance are allowing a short period for compliance on an unless basis, refusing to hear the party who's in contempt of court, and where the order was already subject to a penal notice, which is typical for freezing injunctions, for example, imposing on the company directors or officers the draconian sanctions of imprisonment for up to 2 years, an unlimited fine, or taking possession of a person's property. So let's take a look at each of those in turn. Starting with unless orders. The court can make orders which are subject to conditions, such as payment into court, or which specify a consequence of breach. For example, the order might dictate that unless a party provides disclosure of certain documents by a given date, some or all of that party's statement of case will be struck out. Such orders are known as unless orders and are typically the first step in enforcing compliance with ordinary court orders. It's important to note, though, that unless orders can be made without formal proof of contempt or even prior breach of the order in question. The ultimate sanctions which may be imposed are orders striking out a defaulting party's statement of case or debarring it from continuing to participate in the proceedings. A strikeout is most appropriate pre-trial and may result, for example, from repeated failures to meet a disclosure deadline. Debarring orders are particularly common in respect of unpaid interim costs orders and judgments where the case is ongoing. A recent example of such an order being given was in the 2020 case of Zumax Nigeria Limited versus First City Monument Bank PLC. In that case, the claimant, Zumax, succeeded at first instance and was paid over £3.6 million by the defendant bank. On appeal, the bank succeeded and the Court of Appeal required Zumax to repay the £3.6 million. A year after the Court of Appeal's order, Zumax had repaid only £100,000. However, Zumax wanted to continue with an amended claim against the bank and sought permission to amend. The bank argued that Zumax should be debarred from continuing the proceedings unless it paid the outstanding sums. The judge agreed. In making his decision, the judge considered that the principles which apply to debarring orders in respect of unpaid costs orders and judgment debts were applicable. Policy reasons favour the payment of cost orders and judgment sums to discourage irresponsible applications or unmeritorious resistance to such applications. The underlying merits of the case are generally irrelevant. On the other hand, the court must take care not to stifle a claim or defence. So if a party can demonstrate that it cannot pay the costs or judgment sum due to impecuniosity, a debarring order shouldn't be made. However, proving impecuniosity is very difficult for most companies engaged in international business. And in this respect, Zumax was typical. It failed to convince the judge it was impecunious, and indeed, the judge was obviously unimpressed by Zumax's decision to use the £3.6 million to repay long outstanding informal loans rather than hold on to it. Now let's look at the second method of encouraging compliance that I mentioned earlier. That is where the court refuses to hear a party in contempt. The court has a power to refuse to allow a party who is in contempt to participate further in court proceedings unless the contempt is cured or purged. Unlike the grant of an unless order, this first requires a finding of contempt. In deciding whether to hear a party in contempt, the court will consider whether the interests of justice are best served by hearing the party or by refusing to do so. When considering this, the court must bear in mind the importance which has to be attached to the observance of court orders, and specific consideration will be given to whether the contempt itself impedes the course of justice. Thirdly, and finally, there are the court's powers to imprison or fine a party in contempt. These are very serious sanctions and not lightly imposed. Committal to prison has been said to be the court's ultimate weapon in securing compliance with its orders. It's worth emphasising that the object of committal proceedings should be compliance with orders and shouldn't be directed simply to exert commercial pressure for another purpose. There are various procedural safeguards in place to ensure that the party in contempt has fair notice of the risk of such a penalty. So no such sanction will be imposed without proof of personal service of an order which contains a penal notice warning that breach of the order may lead to imprisonment and a finding of contempt. Multiple hearings may be involved as the court makes sure that the party has a full opportunity to be heard and purge the contempt. Many recent committal decisions have arisen in fraud and freezing injunction proceedings, but they're not restricted to such cases. Two recent oil trading cases neatly illustrate the use of this sanction in the world of international trade. The first example is that of Sahara Energy Resource Limited versus Romania Oil and Gas Limited. This case involved proceedings relating to a sale of gas oil in August 2019. The High Court ordered the defendant to release some 6,000 metric tons of gas oil held in Nigeria to the claimant. The defendant failed to do so. Proceedings in Nigeria were subsequently threatened against the claimant. The claimant sought and obtained an anti-suit injunction from the English court in October 2019, and ultimately brought committal proceedings against the defendant company, its CEO, and the manager of its Nigerian oil terminal. Following several hearings in February 2020, the defendant company was fined £500,000, the CEO was imprisoned for 10 months, and the oil terminal manager was fined £10,000. The defendant applied to set aside these orders, but failed. The case of Integral Petroleum SA versus Petrogat, also arising in 2020, is another such example which arose from a commodities sale. In that case, the claimant learned that, following a dispute about prepayment, part of its cargo was to be diverted to Iran. In January 2018, the claimant obtained High Court injunctions prohibiting such diversion. But the cargo was nevertheless diverted, and in April 2018, the claimant sought to commit individuals responsible for the defendant's business, a father and daughter, Mr. and Ms. Sanchuli, to prison. The judge found that Mr. and Ms. Sanchuli had sufficient knowledge of the company's breach, being a key requirement, and held that they were in contempt. However, the sentence eventually imposed was for only 3 months and was suspended by 12 months. This reflects the judge's finding that the Sanchulis were acting on the basis of a genuine, but mistaken, belief about their rights, that the breaches took place in a narrow time period, and that both had offered their apologies to the court. So, to conclude, there can be no doubt that the English civil courts are serious about enforcing compliance with orders. Parties should proceed with care, particularly if the order against them has been endorsed with a penal notice. It's far better to engage early and, as the Sanchulis did, apologise rather than simply ignore the orders. Even if a company director who is sentenced to imprisonment is based abroad, a committal order can still be seriously disruptive by effectively preventing that individual from travelling to England, and by damaging his or her reputation. Similarly, debarring orders can prevent a company from defending itself and result in substantial adverse judgments. So the key takeaway from all this is that parties should be in no doubt that disobeying a court order is an offence that will be treated very seriously by the courts. As always, members are invited to contact the managers for guidance in relation to any of the issues discussed in this podcast. I hope you found this podcast of interest, and I thank you for listening.